What we're looking at this morning is Moses' theme again. And we're going to look at the picture of the tabernacle. And this is in Exodus 35, verses 30 to 35, into chapter 36, verses 1 to 7. And I'd like to, as we're going through this passage, pick out how God has constantly wanted to be with his people and be part of their lives and part of their ledger and part of their creativeness. Moses began to receive detailed information over 11 chapters prior to this particular chapter that we're going to look at. And we're going to introduce to a very interesting character called Bezalel. How many people have heard of Bezalel? A few. Very few people will have heard of Bezalel, but you're very lucky today to hear about him. Moses began to receive quite a lot of detail, as I said, for 11 chapters before this. And he must, if I was Moses, I would have said, who the heck is going to build this tabernacle with all these things that are in it? We had a very creative introduction to the how the tabernacle looked from Ian some time ago. And he put into this, he was quite creative, using things that he was in his house. It gave us a picture of what the tabernacle is, but this is what it is really like. And it doesn't pick out the colours as it should do, this picture here, but you can imagine what it was like. And it was a massive job that had been given to Moses, and he wondered who's going to do it. It wouldn't be surprising that when he heard that Bezalel was going to be in charge of building this tabernacle, he must have been terribly relieved. And let's just look at chapter 35, verses 30 to 34. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for working gold, silver, bronze, to cut stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all artistic things." What an interesting commission this was for Bezalel. As we look at this passage, we notice that God chose Bezalel for a particular creative purpose and filled him with God's Holy Spirit. He is the first person mentioned in the Bible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know from the previous talks that God did fill people with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but only now and again for particular purposes. And here we've got Bezalel chosen for a particular purpose. How precious is that? And as we reflect on ourselves, how precious for us to know that the Lord our Saviour has filled each one of us, as we come to know him as our Lord and Saviour, with his Holy Spirit. Now, if I said that in Jamaica, there would be a chorus of hallelujah. I've spoken in Jamaica, and it's a joy to get the audience and the congregation involved. So join in, please. God wants us to have joy in these times as we listen to his word, as we see what he does in the lives of the people in the Old Testament, which is paralleled by the lives that we lead. You know, we are leading lives very similar in different circumstances, to them, because God is God. And, you know, he's the same today, tomorrow, and will be in the future. Also, we see in this passage of Bezalel, with the help of God, he's being creative in constructing and furnishing the tabernacle. If we are created in God's image, as it says in Genesis 1, verse 27, God created mankind in his old image, in the image of God, he created them. Male, female, he created them. If we're in God's image, we are creative. It's surprising how many people I meet. I'm a painter, an artist, and it's surprising how many people I meet. And when I say, I'll show them some of my paintings, I'm not creative. If you say you're not creative, in many ways you're denying the cross. Yeah, it's serious. We are creative because we're made in his image. You know, it's stated there. Exactly. If we don't feel creative, let's ask God to make us creative. We've got it inside us. God's Holy Spirit is inside us. We are here. Scripture tells us that. That we are creative. In the passage we are looking at, God has commissioned Bezalel to use his gifts and skills under God's supervision. And this is why he's filled Bezalel with the Holy Spirit, so that he can constantly speak to him. You know, we heard, I don't know if you felt God's presence with you this morning under worship. It was so amazing. You know, God is here amongst us, whether we feel it or not. He is here with us. And he wants to be here. He's eager to be here, as he was eager to be with Bezalel. He didn't just give him the skills and everything else. He filled him with his spirit because he wanted to be part of what he was doing. And he wants to be part of what you do in the day. He wants to be part of your work, if you're working. It's a word I've got forgotten of. But, you know, he wants to be with you in a creative process. He wants to be part of what we create. We are called by God for his creative purpose, as it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't it exciting that God has actually prepared all of the work that we need to do way beforehand? What we've got to do is find out what that work is. You know, that's the difficult part, isn't it? Listening to what God says. Over a period of time, as I said, I'm a painter, and I knew I had particular gifts from quite an early age, but I didn't always acknowledge that they were from God. I thought I was just a very person who had been given things, but I don't know from where. It was only when I began to read and take in scripture which told me that these gifts are from God. And each one of us, it tells us in scripture, has at least one gift. And some people are blessed by God, like this myself. And in his grace, he has gifted some people a bit more. Do you know what your gift is? If you don't know what your gifting is, ask God and listen. That's the other thing. We've got to listen. And yet, over a period of time, as I knew more about what God does through his word, it began to inspire my work. And I recognized his presence whenever I draw, whenever I paint, whenever I try to use the gifting he's given me. I can feel his presence with me. There's a picture I painted of Venice. I'm sorry, it's such a bad image. But we were on a gondola going through the canals of Venice, and we went through a very narrow canal, which was really dark, very, very dark. And then suddenly we came into the Grand Canal, and it was a blaze of light, a blaze of light. And I don't know if you, it's like when you open the curtains in the morning, if you get up late, and the sun's out, and you suddenly get blinded by this picture. And it reminded me of my conversion. My conversion was quite dramatic. I won't go into it this time, perhaps sometime I might do. But it was quite dramatic. And it was as though I was suddenly from dark to light. Everything was clear. I had no questions to ask. I used to be a person who asked lots of questions. It's as though the Holy Spirit said to me, I've had enough of your questions. You know, look, I'm here. And it's that sort of picture that I got as I came out of this dark alleyway into the Grand Canal and saw this magnificent light which lit the whole sky up and put out all that darkness. And I've got another painting too. My next, I'm sorry you can't see it very well, but if I could just indicate, this is a picture of a place which is dear to Dorothy's heart, a place called Port Mahomock, and she'd lived there if she could for all her days. But I went to the top of this hill very early in the morning and looked down on this lovely bay, and the clouds were clearing, the dark clouds were clearing, and it's as though God just moving the clouds along out of the way. And it's just, you can, might be able to see a picture there, Satan being pushed out of the darkness, being pushed away out of the picture. And, you know, again, it's God saying to me, look, when you wake up in the morning, I've already moved. I am moving the clouds of darkness away for you. I am moving out Satan out of the light because you're in the light. This is important. This is important because I don't know how you choose your pictures for your houses or for your room, for the youngsters. God speaks through pictures. He often speaks to me. I don't often hear his word spoken directly to me. I have pictures. As God speaks to me, he gives me pictures which reveal something of himself. And it's usually when I'm praying for people. When I'm praying for people, he usually gives me a picture. We did belong to a group in Scotland, who a prophetic group, who used to go in Costa Coffee once a week at 6 o'clock when they closed, and there'd be a group of us who would try to listen to God for the people who came in, and I would sit there and ask God as people came in. And the thing about it was, once we got known to be there, there were queues outside before we opened. And my job was to sit there as a painter and draw what I saw as people came to sit down to talk to me. And so I did made these pictures out. We will see one or two in a minute. Let's get back to the passage. Exodus 35, verses 34, 35, and 36, verse 1. He gave both Bezalel and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He had filled them to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue and purple, scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Hoholiab, I had a friend who did find it difficult managing these words, and when he spoke, he said, just put Birmingham in. That's where he was from. So he would say, so Birmingham and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all work and construct the sanctuary, how to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. So God gave Bezalel a mate, Oholiab, to work alongside him. And this big commission that God had given to Bezalel, we find in Scripture, God often encourages to work in twos. I find it quite interesting there that he starts to encourage us to work in twos. As in Mark 6, verse 7 to 13. He also, in Matthew 18, 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there amongst them. So often we are not on our own carrying out God's work. An important issue there. We can't be picked off if there are two of us. There's someone to guard your back. And this picture, this next picture, is of a wood with three people going through it and with eagles above it. I've used this picture quite often with people, especially in counselling, where they've had tremendous problems to face. And one problem after another builds up and builds up. And it's something like a forest. It's something like a forest. And God gave me this image, which I've used several times, because the two people either side of the middle person are the people who have the problems. Or one has the problem and the other one has the sharing of it, received the sharing of it. And the one in the middle, who is, come on, Jesus. He takes us through the woods. He takes us through the difficult times. And often I have a passage which says at the bottom here that it's in Ezekiel 4, you will fly on eagle's wings. What a promise that is for us, that we will fly on eagle wings when we get through all the issues. But the important thing is we have the issues, we have a friend to share the issue with, but we also have Jesus to carry us through. And I often look at this picture and remind myself that at the end of all the problems, I will fly on eagle wings. Back to the text. This states in 35 that the colours to be used by most of the decoration were blues, purples, scarlets, together with those mentioned in verse 32 of gold, silver and bronze and white. I'm told by certain theologians that these colours refer to attributes of God. Blue is the colour of sky and reminds us of the heavenly realms, the God of heaven. Purple is the royal colour, reminding us of God as king. And red speaks to us of the sacrificial blood of the animals in the Old Testament, sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins, and for us Christians, the blood shed by Jesus as he went to the cross. We sang that, didn't we, today? Went to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, as Ian pointed out to us in his very creative way, is hanging from it, gold cliffs representing royal strength. And the veil was embroidered with cherubim of white, scarlet and purple, representing the purity of God. It's quite interesting, isn't it? God wants to be there and be recognised. He's recognised by the fact that these colours are there before the people. Unfortunately, they're not filled by the Holy Spirit as we are, so we can go directly to God. They had to imagine God, and these colours were to represent his presence with them in the tabernacle. And it's to remind the Israelites of God's love and his presence with them. As it states in Leviticus 30, verses 11 to 12, God says, I will make my dwelling place among my people, and I will walk among you and be with your God, and you shall be my people. That's to today. He wants to say that to us today. Let me just repeat that. I will make my dwelling place among my people, and I will walk with you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. These colours that I've just talked about reminded me of the passage in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and the banner over me was love. God has taken us for a meal at his house. We have been asked to go to his house. We are part of his family then. You know, he's taken us to his house, saying, you are part of my family. And this banner that I want to stake in front of you, my fighting banner, is of love, and it's over you. This led me to do this painting here, which is, again, you can't see very well, but it's a banner made up of the colours that God used in the tabernacle, because it is a sign of his love. There are many people who need to know that you are under his banner. You've been to his banqueting house. You're part of his family, and you're under that banner of love. I don't know about you as you choose the paintings for your house, or as young people for their wall. How do you choose them? What criteria do you use? Because whatever you see influences how you think and how you feel. It might be something you might like to think about. Do I select things at random? Do I select things on their price? Do I select things because it fits in with my furniture? Or do we select things according to what God is saying to us? Because the pictures speak 1,000 words. It's a good saying, that, isn't it? A picture speaks 1,000 words. If you come to our house ever, you'll see we've got pictures all over the place. And each picture has some meaning for us. Often pictures remind us of a past experience. And these pictures that I'm showing you are pictures of my experiences with God. Claude Monet was a painter of lilies, French painter, French impressionist painter. And he said, some people like to comment on my paintings and think they understand them. They don't really need any understanding. They're about love. What a lovely saying. I wish I'd have said that first. You know, God gives us pictures. And I know some people within this congregation do have pictures. It's the way God speaks to them. You might not have pictures. You may have words. It may be a reminder of a scripture. It might not be a new word to you, but it may be a word which is important to you for a particular time or for somebody else. That's why it was such a joy to have those words this morning. It was such a joy to be in the prayer meeting this morning. God was moving straight away in the prayer meeting because he was speaking directly to us with the needs of people at his heart. God is a compassionate God. He wants to speak to us. He wants to be noticed. That's why he put all these things, this embellishment, in the tabernacle. He wanted the people to notice he's there with them. We are fortunate. We are filled with the Holy Spirit if you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. He's inside us and he wants to speak to us, whether it be through words, whether it be through dance, whether it be through music, whether it be through any of the creative areas. But, you know, you can be creative in other areas. Engineers, you only have to go back to see how certain things began, how certain things started off. They started off with somebody having a creative mind. So even what we might think of mundane things, making a cake, it's a creative process. Some of the cakes I've seen are amazing. God is a creative person. He wants to be in you, creating whatever it is that your skills enable you to have. God gives you the skills. If you don't think you're creative, then ask God, where is my creation? Where is it? What should I be doing? In your job on Monday morning when you wake up, think about that picture of God pushing the clouds away. Clouds are very interesting if you look through Scripture. You know, in the passages that we've been looking at, God is always present in a cloud. He used to speak to Moses. When Moses used to put his tent outside the camp, the people would see him go into the tent and then the cloud would appear. He was talking to God, you know. So clouds are tremendously important. Pat likes clouds, don't you? Because at our midweek meeting, Pat came in and was so overwhelmed, first of all, telling us of this dark cloud with a lightness underneath it. And she'd had to stop the car that morning to take a picture of it. And she hadn't just taken one picture, she'd taken several pictures. And so we before we started our Bible study, we had God there because it had attracted Pat to stop her car and to see his magnificence as he pushed the cloud back and revealed the light. And finally, I have a picture which was given to me as I was praying for the young people. I have great concern for the young people. They have the next church. They're a lovely bunch here and they're on fire for God. But what came to me was how difficult it's going to be for the church in the future. The church has to be strong. It has to have deep roots. And the lighthouse, to me, signifies the fact that it's there for a particular purpose. It's built upon rocks, but around it are probably storms. As the boats are buffeted about on the sea, what a great relief it is to see that lighthouse. And I see Open Door, the new church, the new building, as being a light for the community. And each one of us is part of that light. But what intrigued me when I was talking to God about it, there are steps inside that lighthouse. Although the place around the lighthouse is a raging storm, once you're inside, there's a process that you can go through to get to the light, and you go up the steps. I just want to say to the young people, don't fight the storm from the outside. Fight the storm from inside the church. If you fight the storm from the outside, you might have win one or two battles, but you won't win the war. What I feel is that the young people have got to get deeper and deeper and deeper into God as you can, because the time is coming when you'll draw on that resource, and it's coming quickly. I wish I'd have had that advice when I was younger. I'm 92 more. But what I've learnt over the years is that the deeper and deeper I go with God, the stronger I am in times of difficulty. So think about this. How can I go deeper and deeper with God? This is to the young people at the moment. And I call young people anyone from 16 to 40 is young to me, okay? All you people, you are the next church. You should be strong. And to deepen that strength, there are all sorts of ways you can do it. As we go up these steps, they remind me of the steps to freedom. In freedom of Christ, in Christ, there are steps which you can take, which allow you to deepen your faith with Jesus. So I recommend that you sign up for the next course. I think those of people who've been on that course will echo what I'm saying. It deepens your faith in Christ. The more you know of Christ, the more you experience Christ, the more you're strong to face those times which I know are coming. I'm so grateful for Open Door Church. It's solidly on the rock of Christ. It's got a long way to go. That's why we need to pray for the leadership, for guidance. It's got a long way to go. And the young people are those who are going to take over eventually. And it's you people who need to deepen your faith. Go for it. If God gives you a picture, come and say. Go and tell somebody. If God says something to you, it's important that you share it. We're a family, as we said before. It was quite interesting, I think, that this morning in the prayer meeting, we were told to bring our problems with us into the assembly because, you know, we don't want to hide them. We don't get very far hiding that problem. We need to bring them to Jesus. Let him deal with them. Share them with a friend. And you young people, there are great things for you, but there's also difficulties. I'd like to pray for you young people. Can one or two people join me as we pray for them? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're here with us and amongst us. And you want to take us on and on and on with you, deeper and deeper. I pray, Lord, that you'll really anoint these young people to accept the banner that is being passed on to them, to be diligent in their study of the word, to be open to new ways of sharing the word, open to new ways of technology, open to new ways of communication, open to new ways of drawing people in from the community, new ways of reaching the community, Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to be a beacon like that lighthouse. We want to see the light of Jesus shining in this place. We want to have church on the lips of people, not in a derogatory way as often it is now, but in a positive way. Your church is the people who are in it. Your church is a stronghold for your community and has a responsibility to share the love of Jesus within that community. So, Lord, we just pray for boldness of those young people, for a diligence in study of the word, but also, Lord, in having courage to share it with each other, but also with the world around them. I pray, Lord, for the new mission that you're commissioning this new building. I know that this is of you, Lord. I know that it is a place very similar to Isaac coming, digging the wells and saying, God has given us space. God has given us space. Pray for the leadership as they lead this church, that they lead into that space with a newness and a freshness of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.